Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Lifetime Legacy Lawyer Podcast. Joined by Seth Wilson, I'm Thomas Dick. It's great to see everyone today. Seth, how are you? Doing well. Looking forward to more spring break weather. Spring break is coming up. I was telling you before we hopped onto the podcast that my schedule is a little bit lighter the next 2 weeks because I think everybody on the south side of Indianapolis has decided to go to Florida or somewhere else. So I'm kind of looking forward to doing some, you know, work in the office and kind of catching up on some things. Maybe do a few family, you know, fun family things.
It's interesting
over the next couple weeks
to think about that, because this week
was
extremely busy from a calendar perspective for me, just back-to-back meetings and things. And I think there's probably some of that getting ready before trips coming up for, you know, updating plans or making new plans and those kind of things from the estate planning side of our practice. And that's always a good thing to have done before you travel with folks, is make sure those documents and plans are in place. And it's always interesting to me that helped, having that deadline always helps get decisions made and things in place. So sometimes that's a good way to trick yourself into getting stuff done.
Absolutely. Well, there have been some recent changes in Indiana law. The legislative session just ended for the General Assembly here in Indiana, I think Friday of last week, and Governor Eric Holcomb has signed some bills, and we wanted to talk at least for a little bit today about a recent change in transfer on death insurance law that was signed by Governor Holcomb. So you actually brought this to my attention. Seth, why don't you kind of describe the change in insurance law?
It's interesting because we try as estate planning attorneys, right, to keep up with all the proposals and things that are in front of us as we go through. And I think our state bar does a good job of kind of keeping the Bar Association informed of what changes are in front of the legislature. And so I've been watching this one for a little bit because we do utilize the transfer on death deed as part of an estate planning process a lot of times. And it's a great vehicle in the right circumstance to transfer the house that you may own to the next in line through that inheritance. And so what the issue that this statute is trying to address is the scenario as it exists before this statute, is that what happens to the homeowner's insurance coverage when the individual who has the transfer on death deed in favor of somebody else passes away. And currently that policy essentially expires, and the new owner would then need to get a new policy of insurance in place. And what this bill does is it expands the time limit to that allows that to happen. So we go from a zero time limit where the policy expires to now a 60-day window potentially. There's some technicalities in the statute in terms of how that will work, and I think largely will depend on how the policies are written in light of this new change. But essentially gives the individuals receiving the property a 30 to 60 day window to get their own coverage in place or change the name of the existing policy to the new folks and enter into a new contractual relationship with that insurance company.
Yeah, and that brings to mind the topic that we had a couple weeks ago about closing an estate administration. Well, getting insurance on the decedent's property is like the first thing that a personal representative does when you open up an estate administration. Make sure that the real estate is insured, make sure that the vehicles are insured. And even some counties will require the potential personal representative to sign an instruction sheet that says that the personal representative will keep everything insured, all the property insured. And so, and it's because there could be a lapse of coverage from the time that the decedent passed away to when the personal representative actually is appointed and during the pendency of the administration. So I think that's a great change in the law, that it gives at least a little bit of a window of time for the transfer on death beneficiary to actually realize that they are the new owners of the real estate. and, you know, gives them time to get an insurance policy in place so that there's no lapse in coverage. And then, you know, they're not going to be out of luck.
It's frankly one of those scenarios that I think it's helpful to talk through from a planning perspective to help educate everybody about these issues. So what do you do when the death occurs? Well, you need to get the lawyer involved pretty quickly because of these issues that may arise. And you may not even know or think about it, or frankly, be in the position to think about it, because we're dealing with the loss and the grief that accompanies that, the emotional challenges that presents. And so those are things the objectivity of the lawyer can help individuals go, okay, let's get a list together, because this is kind of what we do and we know what needs to be done in that scenario, and make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted as we go through and try to protect and preserve these assets. But if you're the beneficiary on a transfer on death deed, that's probably the last thing you're really thinking about at that time, because there's funerals arrangements to make. There's different things that you're working through, let alone the grief associated with the loss of a loved one. And so I think it's a really good move to recognize this reality and protect the assets for a little bit longer period of time. And most of the time, I think if you're dealing with a good insurance company, there's not going to be an issue with that. That just transfer the policy and you keep paying kind of thing. But this definitely protects in that event by giving that official window of time to make sure that that transition does get done on the insurance side.
Yeah, and you talked about getting things done. One of the most important things in doing estate planning is deciding on who will be the one to get things done, you know, whether that is your trustee or personal representative. And a lot of thought goes into that. And I think some clients don't know exactly how to approach that decision-making process. Sometimes they say, well, this son is the oldest or this daughter is the oldest, and therefore I'll name this child as the personal representative or the trustee. But that's not always the best way of going about it. You know, there could be some other factors that go into it. One that I think about is proximity. You know, if you've got an individual that, you know, a child that lives in California and they're an attorney and, you know, they would be perfectly capable of handling it, but they're not close, you know, they're not in Indiana, there's going to be some difficulty in that child actually getting things done for the estate or the trust. So proximity is one of those factors that go into it. Maybe we could go back and forth and kind of think about some factors that go into naming a personal representative.
Both address the scenario of what needs to be done and how can we make sure, for example, that the insurance is in place for all the assets and then the transition occurs, with family dynamics a lot of times of how can we set it up so that we're limiting the opportunity for disputes to arise and make this as seamless as we can. And so I think one of those distinctions is recognizing who will be sort of more objective and almost in go mode as a result of the situation that happens. Obviously, you want to be allowing appropriate time for grief and those kind of things, but some of us personality wise are able to, hey, this needs to be done, we're going to get it done regardless of the challenges that we're facing right now. And so that's a good thing to think about, is who's kind of got that drive to make sure things are done in the right way, balanced with making sure that you're not getting things done at the expense of someone who maybe needs a little bit of time to process that and has more some of that empathy that can be there rather than just checking the box to get some.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the factors that I think about is just the ability to handle stress, because that's a stressful time. You've kind of touched on it, the grief that's happening. The grief is one stress, but then the other stress is dealing with all the numbers and all the property that have to, you know, be accounted for. Can the person that you select push through all of that and accomplish what needs to be accomplished with some help. You know, attorneys are there to help out and guide along the process and make sure that good decisions are being made. But, you know, even meeting with an attorney sometimes can be stressful. And, you know, that's kind of why you need to pick somebody that you're comfortable with. But being able to push through the stressors that are involved in that period of transition is really important. You know, and do they have the expertise? Are they familiar with, you know, bank accounts and investment accounts, and can they handle those types of assets?
I think that's another factor in general terms, personality traits. Who is organized? You know, who's the person who's going to sit down and make a list and kind of look at the big picture and work through that versus someone who may be a little bit more free spirited and just, well, we'll deal with it when it comes up. You know, you got to balance the two of those. So if the choice is between someone who is kind of more go with the flow or someone who's going to say, no, I'm going to make a plan and go after it, that should help you make that determination, because you do need someone who will keep things moving forward on a consistent basis without waiting for the reaction to happen where, hey, I got something, now I need to deal with it. Well, no, let's go ahead and get a list of everything that we think we need to deal with. We have a house, so we know we probably have a electric bill coming in and probably a water bill coming in, and oh, there's homeowners insurance and mortgage payments potentially and all those things, versus waiting till the end of the month and, oh, I got all these bills in, now what do I do with them? So that can be helpful, as well as you're thinking about who is more appropriate to serve for you. And not that someone who doesn't have that skill set can't do it, not a problem, but just a factor to consider.
Yeah, and family responsibilities is another factor. Like, there may be a stay-at-home mom that, you know, was a PhD in math, but she's taking care of three or four kids. She may not be the best person because she's got her hands full. So that might be a factor. Another factor could be, does this individual have a good relationship with the other beneficiaries? Maybe two beneficiaries are at odds with each other, but there's a third beneficiary that is friends with both or on good terms with the other two. That might be a good person to select, so that, you know, there can be good communication between the personal representative and the beneficiaries. And so sort of striking that middle ground.
Yeah. And I think you hit on a major really factor big is who is the communicator and who's the connector in the family. And that's often a good person to serve in that role, because even if maybe their skill set isn't, you know, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, they can rely on the others to the extent appropriate underneath the documents to help marshal the assets and get everything put together, but they're the ones keeping everybody on the same page and letting people know what's going on to avoid any of those misconceptions that can sometimes occur.
Yeah. Yeah. So in summary, I would say there are a lot of factors that go into selecting the personal representative. We've named some of them. I'm sure that there are more that we could go through, and all the reasons why people delay doing an estate plan is probably all the reasons why factors that we just listed there. There's a lot to go into that decision and a lot to think about. So those are just some ideas that people can consider
as we'll put a link in the show notes to a document or a blog post that you just put out this week, I think, on some of those issues and just kind of saying, what is an executor or a personal representative? What are the roles? What are the types of tasks they will be charged with doing as part of your estate plan? Because that can also help as you're looking at, oh, they need to be pretty well versed in these kind of things. That makes the choice very obvious, because this is A versus B or something along those lines. And then I'll put a link out to the transfer on death law explanation as well, if anybody's interested in that, but just know that it's there now.
That'd be great. I appreciate that, Seth.
Well, like you said, Thomas, we're here in the heart of Hamilton County in Noblesville, Indiana, and that's our web address as well. NoblesvilleAttorney.com has all of our contact information right there, and it's probably the easiest way to find us on the web. And incidentally, like when I see sometimes on our Google business page what people are searching for to find our address, a lot of times they're just using the name Adler Attorneys, and that pops up as well. So either noblesvilleattorney.com or Adler Attorneys, depending on your familiarity if you've been around Hamilton County for a bit. So how about yourself?
Yeah. Well, my firm, Vic Law PC, is located in Greenwood, Indiana, and the best way to get in touch with me is by going to the website and booking a call. My website is viclaw.org. If you go there, you'll find a way to get in touch with me. We can do phone consultations that are scheduled through the website, and we can do Zoom consultations scheduled through the website. So either way would be perfect, and we'd be glad to help anybody out. So I appreciate it,
Seth. Sounds good, Thomas. Good to see you.
Good discussion as always. We'll talk to you next time.